I think the opening two scenes of that video like strike a chord in me, that kind of like a 2x4 upside the head, I guess, for lack of a better word. It reminds me of a parenting book that I read not too long ago, trying to brush up on how to be a good parent. I don't know if it's taken effect yet, but in essence, this is what the book said, is as a Christian believer, we are given this precious gift of children. And as a parent, it's our responsibility, eternal responsibility, to lead them to Christ, because whether we do that or not will depend on where they ultimately spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And to kind of share with you what those two are, is one is with God and one is without God. And when I read that sentence, it's just like a 2x4 right upside the head. Like, I've got to get this right. Right? I can't force it. I've got to model it. And then I think we've had this sermon series, Made for Mission, and this is our last week on it. And I think, oh my gosh, if there's one takeaway from this whole sermon series, is we have an eternal destiny awaiting for each one of us and awaiting for each one outside of the church. And that destiny is either with God or without God. And I think where do we fit in the midst of all of this? And we come to our text today, and I think, if I were God, aren't you glad I'm not God? I don't know if I would have chosen the last words that Jesus chose. You know, I would have talked about me, right? Wasn't it great spending 3.5 years with me? But that's not what God said. So I invite you to take on a posture of prayer before we read these last words of Jesus. A gracious and loving God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here to open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive the whisper of your voice today and the message that you've prepared. Help us to understand the weight of this text, the consequences that surround it, the implications that undergird it, and the truth that we need to claim today. We pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen. Our text today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus, in his last words to his disciples, has this to say. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the earth," or to the end of the age. This is the promise and commission of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's it. That's it. Jesus' last words, go and tell. Did you hear that? Go and tell. We cannot be a church anymore that lives and thrives on the day of come and see. Because that's just not happening anymore. The days of come and see are over. There's an app for everything. Do you know that people that have been coming new to this church have checked us out online beforehand. They wanted to get a feel for who we were as a church. They wanted to see what kind of things we offered, what kind of ministries we were doing, engaged in, how we were changing the world. They're checking us out before they even step foot in the door. The days of come and see are over. It used to be, you just opened the doors on Sunday, and there was no soccer, there was no football, there was nothing competing for Sunday morning. Everything was closed. You open up the doors and the whole community gathered because that's what you did. But not anymore. But not anymore. Barna put out a study that said this. It used to be that people would attend worship on average 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. And they said in their study that if that average has gone down to about 1.5 times per month. So if you're, in other words, what they're saying, if your worship attendance is staying the same, you're probably growing. Isn't that hard to believe? That's the reality that we're in today. Think about this. I won't tell you what restaurant we went to yesterday, but I'll never go back again. Before we went there, I looked at Google Review, and it had a 3.5-star review, but they had music playing, and I'd think, well, I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot. It was the worst overpriced food I have ever had. We're never going back. We had one shot. The restaurant had one shot to change what our gut was telling us by looking at Google reviews, and they blew it, right? Like I think what's at stake for us as a church, eternal consequences, is way more higher than a bad plate of nachos. You know what I'm saying? Like we've got to do better. We've got to do better. And Jesus calls us to this great commission. It's where the church, the United Methodist Church, gets its mission statement to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And the East Ohio Conference has added to make and mature disciples for the transformation of the world. Like, if we're not living in a state of transformation ourselves, then how are we possibly going to transform the world? Do you know what I'm saying? A state of transformation means we have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we do church. We have to change how we go about being disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think it all starts with having the courage and strength and wisdom to be able to tell the story and to be able to tell how our story fits into His story. And so Jesus gives the disciples the Great Commission. And both Mark and Luke, He also teaches them how to do it. He sends them, according to Mark chapter 6, He gives this offering. Then He went about the villages teaching, and He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2. And He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they cured them. Do you see the wisdom in that? Jesus sending 2 by 2? Why do you think that is? 2 are better than 1, is it not? Like, if he would have sent out one at a time, the first time the disciple would have received any pushback or a closed door, he would have been discouraged. He would have given up. But in the wisdom of Jesus, he sends the disciples two by two. And there's another reason that he sends two by two, so they can learn from each other, right? So they can mold their craft or make better their teaching as they're proclaiming. I remember when I had my business, and I just started it as simply an excavation company. And this builder kind of nudged me, and he says, well, you do great work, but I want more. Can you pour the footer? Can you lay the block? And I said with a straight face, of course I can. I didn't know the first thing about pouring a footer or laying a block, but I wasn't going to pass up on the opportunity, right? And so I hired a friend of mine who was 40 years older than me. He was a master mason. And he taught me so much. You know, there has to be a willing servant heart to be able to be taught. You know what I'm saying? And I can remember him teaching me the proper way to lay block and the proper way to strike the block and make the mortar look nice, and then how to wait to the right time to sweep the edge of the block so you sweep off all the burrs without damaging the in-between, the striking of the mortar. And he was so good at it that he could have his back to me, and I would be trying to strike, and he would listen to how I was striking the block. And if I wasn't doing it right, he'd pick up a pebble and he'd throw it at me. That's not the way I taught you, right? Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't picking up rocks and throwing them at us? But he's encouraging us. He's giving us lessons in the New Testament on how to tell the story. I think about the first time I told my story. It was oh boy, it was a I still pray for that person. I was in a grocery store, and I was just so overwhelmed by the joy of being liberated from my junk. I had Jesus in my heart, and I was alive for the first time, it felt. And this person was kind of looking for something. And I says, can I help you find something? And he says, yeah, I'm looking for, I don't know, red beans or kidney beans or something like that. And the next thing you know, I'm telling him my story about meeting Jesus Christ and how I had been on a bridge ready to end it all, and I felt God intersect my life and all this joy. And 20 minutes later, he reminded me, like, I just came for kidney beans. Right? There was not another person with me to say, slow down. This may not be the right place or the right time. So Jesus sends us out in two by twos to learn together. And it's really great when we have a disciple that is way more than mature than us to go along with us so that we can learn from them the right time and place to tell the story. The next thing about that we can learn from Jesus sending us out two by twos is how to corroborate our stories. Now, if I had gone fishing yesterday and taken my son with me, I would have come here today and said, boy, you should have seen the one that got away. It was that big. My son would have come up and said, no, Dad, it was really like this big. Right? Corroborating our stories. It's why the police, during a crime or an accident, they look for for more than one witness, to get different angles. And I think the wisdom of Jesus as he calls us to go out in the world in two by twos is to tell the story. So maybe my story won't relate to Joe or Jane, but the disciple with me, their story just might relate, right? We're increasing our chances of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ when we are working together, which leads us to our next point. You can get a whole lot more done with two people than one. You ever try to row or paddle a canoe by yourself from just one side? If you don't know how to do it, you're going to go around and around and around. But if you have somebody in the front that is paddling on the other side, you can go straight with so much ease. Right? Amen. Working together, we can make more of an impact when we work together than when we work alone. I loved the fact that we worked together on a mission trip. At first, when I first got down there with the youth, all I could think about was, okay, I need to get this, this, and this done so that we can get something accomplished during the week. I had totally missed the opportunity to teach what I knew about construction to the youth on the first day. And then it hit me, no, it's not about the end result, it's about the process. It's about the passing on of wisdom. And those kids, like every time we would do something, accomplish something like putting up a piece of drywall or doing something with success, and it would just fit, right? I would make the comment, well, that's just like downtown. And the kids finally said, what in the world do you mean, just like downtown? I says, well, just like downtown. That's where all the action is. That's where all the fun is, right? It's like where everybody wants to be, downtown. It's like when you accomplish something together and you succeed, it's just like downtown. You know, by the end of the week, they were saying, that's just like downtown, right? Passing on that wisdom and changing lives in the midst of it, knowing that you can get more done collectively than individually. Luke writes this about the 72 or 70, depending on the version. After this, in Luke 10, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead in pairs to every town and every place where he himself intended to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. And again, he says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. In whatever house you enter, stay there and say this, may the peace of God be upon you. The peace of God. So often in our evangelistic attempts, we strive to hear those words. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Still longing to hear those words. Yes, right? We've got to let that go a little bit. Jesus isn't calling us to deliver the end results. He's just calling us to go out and be sowers of his love, to tell the story. You know, I had mentioned about singing Sweet By and By when I was a wee one, right? Did I say yes to Jesus when I was a wee one? No, I didn't. That wouldn't happen until I was 38. I wonder, as I look back, how many disciples it took to plant a seed here or there before I said yes. The harvest isn't up to us. It's up to God. But if we don't plant the seed, the harvest will never come. And that's the heart of the message that Jesus is calling us and commissioning us to do, to go and tell the story, to go and make disciples. Do you know the story? Do you know the story, I wonder? It makes me want to break out in the song, "Do You Know the Way to San Jose?" But I won't, I'll save you. But do you know the story? Are you willing to celebrate that story? Have you experienced that story for yourself? The liberating power of Jesus Christ, who raised, God raised from the dead. That's the story. To share that love of God, that while we were still sinners, God proves his love for us to come and die for us. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about their understanding of God and different religions, and they didn't want to put all their trust into one thing. They've traveled the world and they've seen different religions, and they wanted to be, I don't know, safe. They just wanted to say, you know what? There are multiple ways. And I listened, and it was a safe conversation. And I finally said this. I said, you know, I used to feel that way until I realized, think about this now, that the Creator of the heavens and earth chose to leave that throne in the heavenly realms to come to earth and take on the form of a human being, and then to take on the form of a slave. Think about last week's sermon where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That was the job of a slave. The Creator of heaven and earth coming down to the created and saying, this is how much I love you, that I'd be willing to wipe the grime and grit and stench off your feet and then to embrace a cross and die for me. I'm going with that story, because that somehow moves me to my knees. It's not about treating people nicely or just coexisting or getting along. It's about realizing the length and depth and width that God would go to prove his love for us. That's an amazing story, I believe. Jesus, in his very last sentence, says this, "And I will be with you always." Scripture backs up where Psalm 139 says, no matter where we go, whether we go to the farthest reaches of the sea, God's there. To the highest mountains, God's there. To the lowest valley, God's there. What does that tell you? That God has already beat us there, no matter where we're going. So when we come to that point where we have the opportunity to share the story, know this: God's ahead of you. God's preparing the way. And if you call on God, he will anoint your tongue to be able to say what needs to be said. That's all God is calling you to do, is to tell the story. And I wonder if you would take that commission seriously, knowing that there are eternal consequences. Could you? Would you? Pray with me. A gracious and loving God, it is an amazing story of your love for us. It's not a myth. but a story that moves mountains, that breaks through even the hardest of hearts, that ends with the joy-filled resurrection in your presence. Give us the strength and courage to take on that commission to tell your story for the sake of eternity. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen.